Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, there was some discussion of the logical apparent contradiction that the Lord doesn't have any senses, but he has senses. Anyway, he has special kind of senses. Continuing with 47.5. Atat sarvato vilakshana mahimatvat animisha deva indradayaha tatpujya vishwasrijo brahmadayopi tavatubhyam balim upaharam ud uchai shirobir vahanti. Ajaya tesham adhikarinya mayayapi sahitaha. And so, because your greatness is altogether unique, the unblinking ones, the demigods, led by Indra, and also the creators of the universe, Brahma and others, who are worshipable by the demigods, carry high on their heads tribute or offerings for you, to you. They are accompanied by the unborn goddess, Maya. Sapi Abhasa Shakti Rupa Swarupa Ananta Shakti Mayaya Tubhyam Atma Sampad Ubhavanar Tam Balim, Harant Ityar Taha. She also, Maya, as your shadow energy, brings tribute to you, who possesses unlimited personal energies. She does this for the sake of securing her own opulences. This is all because of his unique greatness. Samaranti, these are all words from the verse by the personified Vedas. I'll read the verse again at the beginning of the Anuchet. Tvama karanak sarad akila karaka shakti daras tavabalim udvahanti samadanti ajayani mishaha varsha bujo tilak shitipater iva vishva svijo vidadati yatra ye twadigivta bhavatas chakita. Again, the translation of that. Prasadavite Vedas say, you have no material senses and are self-effulgent, the sustainer of everyone's sensory powers. The demigods and material nature herself offer you tribute, while also they are enjoying the tribute offered them by their worshippers. Just as subordinate rulers of various districts of the kingdom offer tribute to their lord, the ultimate proprietor of the land, while also enjoying the tribute paid to them by their own subjects. It seems to say that twice. It says, while also enjoying the tribute offered them by their worshippers. I see. The demigods also offer, just like the subordinate rulers offer to the king, while also enjoying the tribute paid to them by their own subjects. Okay, I'm sorry. In this way, the universal creators faithfully execute their assigned services out of fear of you. Okay, so that's the verse. It's talking first that he has no senses, but he's in control of everybody's senses. And then they go on to describe how the demigods of material nature are worshipping him. And that's what we're discussing here now in 47.5. So, samadanti. They
eat.
Okay. Samadanti cha manushair dattam havya kavyadi lakshanam balim bakshayanti cha. These demigods also eat the tribute of Havya, Kavya, and other sacrificial offerings made by human beings. Atradishtantaha Varsha Bujaha Iti Varsham Kandamandalam. An analogy to this is given in the words beginning subordinate rulers. A varsha is a subdivision of a kingdom, a province. So the rulers of provinces have to serve the king. Katam balim udvahanti tad ahu vidadati ti. Tad agya palanam eva bala haranam ityartaha. Their obedience to your command is the way they bring tribute to you. This idea is also stated by Shruti. And the Shruti says, Bishasmad vatapavate Bishoteti suryaha Bishasmad agnishchendrascha Mrityurdhavati panchamaha. Out of fear of him, the wind blows. Out of fear of him, the sun rises. Out of fear of him, fire and Lord Indra act, and death, the fifth of them, runs his course. Okay. Chakita, afraid. So that's being justified by the statement of Shruti. Commentary. The senses of the Supreme Lord are all-powerful. Their power, the power of the senses, is his own power, and it is greater than the derivative power of everyone else. Derivative, because anybody else who has power is getting that power from the Supreme Lord. All others, demigods and ordinary beings, must borrow power from him. Each prominent demigod has his own characteristic forms, names, and potencies, but all of these are loaned to the demigods by their ultimate possessor, the personality of Godhead. Brahma is the first and foremost of the Vishwasriks, creators of the universe, and he is assisted in creating by others, demigods like Vishwakarma, and Prajapati sages like Kashyapa. Vishwasrijo is the word in the verse. These Vishwasriks are humble servants in the presence of the Supreme Lord, carrying tribute to him on their heads. Of course, they do not literally do this like abject sages. In actual practice, their tribute is their favorable execution of their assigned administrative duties. They are joined in offering tribute to the Lord by Maya, who superintends the creators and other demigods. But as superior as she is to them, she is only a shadow of the Supreme Lord's Swarupa Shakti. She is called Maya, mystic power, and she's called Aja, the unborn. But the Lord has another spiritual Maya who is unborn also. Although this material Maya provides all desirable things to the inhabitants of this world, first she needs to satisfy her Lord to obtain them. The appointed creators and rulers of this world are thus, as the title demigod suggests, secondary controllers and enjoyers. The Taittiriya Upanishad says that it is fear that motivates them to serve the Supreme Master. But this fear, like the tribute they carry on their heads, should be understood poetically. Also, it's not too literal. Their fear is the obedience and reverence they express. Such obedient servants of the Supreme Lord do not have to experience fear in the same way as less exalted souls. They do not often have to be punished. Sometimes they do have to be punished, but not much. And even if their punishment is required, it is not severe. In general, devotees of the Lord, even those still burdened with material desires, are corrected with relative mildness. They rarely have to suffer internment in hell or hellish conditions in this life. Hare Krishna. So, any questions? All right, we'll just move on then. Atava nanu mama.
Ane tatavadishtatri devatas tadashrayad eva karanaya vishayam prakashayatum shaknuvanti. The other demigods, presiding deities of the various realms of control, are capable of manifesting the sense objects by the senses only, because they are under the shelter of those ajanaja deities. Tvampunas, tesham apyashraya, iti tvatkarananam saprakashatapateh sarupabhutatvam eveti. You, moreover, are the shelter of even them, and your senses, since they are thus proven to be self-manifest, belong to your inner self. Yes, yes, Krishna. The question that Krishna asked? Of what? Of the whole thing? Okay, of this paragraph. Okay, I was asked to repeat the translation. I'll read it again. Or else, Narayan asks, tell me the argument to prove that my hands and other senses belong to my inner self. This they answer by saying, the unblinking ones, the presiding demigods of the senses, carry tribute for you. Because Brahma and others are ajanaja deities, they are the creators of the universe, the causes of the creation of everything. The other demigods, presiding deities of the various realms of control, are capable of manifesting the sense objects by the senses only, because they are under the shelter of those ajanaja deities. You, moreover, are the shelter of even them. And your senses, since they are thus proven to be self-manifest, belong to your inner self. Okay. Okay. So, the principal demigods are directly associated with the Supreme Lord. They are engaged in his personal service. Then there are the bureaucracy of administrative demigods under them, who are serving Krishna through them. And then all these demigods, the big ones and the small ones, are controlling the rest of us. And even if we have no Krishna consciousness, we're serving Krishna through
being controlled by the demigods who make us work. There is a demigod who inspires the fire of digestion in your stomach and makes you feel hungry. He does it to you every day, at least twice a day. If you don't put something in your mouth and eat it, then you're going to be caused great distress by this demigod. He's going to make you want to eat something. And in order to get something to eat, you'll have to go out and get a job and work hard. The whole material life is there, especially if we're not satisfied to live by ourselves, and we need a wife and children. Then we have to feed so many stomachs. So the demigods are forcing us to work. But we're working for Krishna. Whether we like it, or whether we know it or not, we're all working for Krishna. We're all carrying tribute. Maybe not directly, but directly or indirectly, we're offering the tribute of our work to the Supreme Lord. I think it's a little too loud. It's echoing. Can you do it without making a commentary? When the verse of the discussion was first introduced in this anuchet, the demigods offering the Supreme Lord tribute was understood as evidence that they are inferior to him, and that their powers are dependent on his favor. Now a different explanation is offered, that this offering of tribute by the two different levels of demigods, the creators of the universe and its administrators, proves the non-difference of the Supreme Lord's senses from his inner self. The demigods offer him tribute because he is the shelter of all of them. The administrative demigods illumine the senses of ordinary beings who are helpless without this support. But the same presiding deities have no domain over the Supreme Lord. His senses must therefore be self-luminous. They have power to perceive and act, and no one else has given them this power. So they must have this power innately. An instrument that does not belong to its possessor's very self cannot have innate power, but must derive power from the person using it. If I use my own hands to pick up something, my personal energy, the energy of my body, powers the hand. I can use a robot hand to pick something up. Then I need a power source. And to put batteries or plug it into the wall. An instrument that is not really part of you does not have any power. It must derive power from something else. I don't have any commentary for this. Oh no, we just read the commentary. Any questions?
That's okay. You just explained it now in your commentary. But how does that prove that it has that the sense of the part of the rupa? This argument that's given.
If his senses were not part of his Swarupa, then there would have to be some source of powering those senses. Senses, material senses are not self-empowering. You have to eat food in order to make your body strong, so your senses have some energy. So if the Supreme Lord, if his senses were not self-illuminating, if they weren't self-empowering, then someone else would have to empower them. There'd have to be somebody else to make his senses work. Just like everybody in the world, except for him, have senses that have to be controlled by demigods. But all these demigods are his servants. He's not controlled by any of these demigods like everybody else's. So if he had senses like other people's senses,
that were separate, you know, just not different. Their senses are not them. Their senses are something separate from them. And demigods have to make those senses work. If the Supreme Lord also had separate senses, he'd also need to be controlled by demigods. He would need to be controlled by demigods. And we see all the demigods are coming in and serving him, not the other way around. He doesn't need help from any demigod. Yes?
On the rebound from the senses, somebody could ask, but what about the demigod's own senses, for instance? Like the worship Lord Brahma, here says the worship Lord Brahma. Do Lord Brahma's senses, are they also considered, like, non-different from him? And if not, how can they, in other words, on the logic here, is that if they worship Lord Brahma and give tributes to him, so Lord Brahma's senses must also be independent from the demigod's control?
No. Actually, I think, maybe I'm wrong, I think that the demigods have material bodies, so actually they're controlling each other's senses in a subtle way, because these are subtle bodies. Demigods don't have gross bodies. So, but subtle energy, mind, ego, intelligence, is also something that has to be given energy by living spirit. The demigods are also empowering our mind, as well as they're empowering our physical senses. So, either it's the demigods are also empowering each other, or else the Supreme Lord has to do it directly, or Lord Brahma. I think it's the demigods are also under their own subtle control.
Yes,
just like you know, the tax collector also has to pay taxes.
To make it a little more complicated, what about, for instance, the sun god who controls, supposed to control anybody's eyesight? What about his eyesight? Does he control his own?
Yep, Chakshurya. That's Krishna's. The sun is getting his energy from Krishna. We all have what seems to be, every one of us, not just demigods, every person has some innate energy. But it's not really innate. It's been given to us as a gift of God. God, through his agents, has given us certain capacities. Like, I don't, you know, I'm not that crippled that I can't pick up this book. I have the power to do it without asking anybody to help me. I can call that an innate energy. But actually, I only have it because Krishna, through his agents, gave it to me, that energy. So the demigods also, they have the sun god has his power to give out apparently unlimited light. He doesn't have to go anywhere. He doesn't have to buy a light bulb. Sun god doesn't need a light bulb in his house. No. He doesn't need electricity in his house because he can make his own electricity, own light. But it's derivative. All of his illuminating power is given to him by the Supreme Lord. But it was given to him in the beginning. He doesn't have to go out and go shopping every day for light bulbs.
So in his case, he is eyesight. In the case of demigod, in the case of sun god, his eyesight is not controlled by himself. It's controlled by Krishna directly.
Sort of directly, but it's not moment to moment. The demigods are controlling us from moment to moment. Krishna empowers the sun god in the beginning when he's born. Okay, here's the power. Take it and use it. But it's not that Krishna has to turn on the lights every morning.
Yeah, but that's clear. But if you could consider his eyesight, if the eyesight of the demigod of the sun god is material,
yeah,
and it's not controlled by Krishna day to day,
then
it has to be controlled by somebody, or it has to be autonomous, one or the other.
Well, the sun god is, having been given the power by Krishna, the sun god is shining out enough light for everybody, including himself. It's said that the sun, even an ordinary lamp, illumines everything in the room, and it also illumines itself. You can see the lamp by the light of the lamp. There's no other source of light in the room. It's a dark room, totally dark. I light a lamp. I turn on a flashlight. What light lets you see the flashlight? The light of a flashlight. So by what light does Surya see, or can he be seen? by the light that was the power of light that was given to him by Krishna. So he's giving himself his own power to see. But what about his power to hear or his power to walk? He's getting that from other demigods. Each
being the source of the senses and enjoying that. I'm sorry, I didn't hear it.
No,
I didn't hear a clue. Each demigod has a certain.
Each demigod, while giving facility, enjoys the same facility. And just repeating what he says.
Yeah. Yes. He's providing for everyone else and also for himself. Yes.
Can you explain what is the difference between a Janaja, this animal, and just normal animals? Because we know that Gurdwara is also one of the kind of instead of this universe. So it must be some quality difference between them.
I don't have here, I thought we found it, but I don't have in front of me the technical definition of what a Janaja means. Do you remember that? Or an uncle? We found it some once. I can't remember what it is. What's special about the Janaja? Anyway, they're the big demon. They're the chief demigods. But I have to look. I have a question here to myself to find the definition of what it is. Okay, so I can't really say something special about them that makes them better than the other demigods. Okay, we'll move on. Atap, I think this is the end of the Amjade. Atap Yastam Mahashaktir Mayashraya Mayaiva Ashraya Ityatak Ahu. Here's a proposal. But isn't Maya, the supreme energy, the only shelter? Okay. Ityahu Ajayeti. The Shruti's answer in the words beginning Ajaya, by the material energy. Let's see, what does it have to do? Because I don't really explain, Jiva Goswami doesn't go into detail explaining that. What does Ajaya mean in the verse? Ajaya Divisha. It's by Aja that the demigods eat their food. That they do their work, they accept the offerings and they enjoy them. 47.5. 47.7. How is that an answer? Oh, I see. Ajay, does it mean by Ajay or with Maya? Along with Maya, she's also serving him. Okay, so she's also a servant, like all the demigods. So she's also included in the category of subordinate servants. So don't try to propose that she's the ultimate shelter. Okay. Nanu, now another objection. Nanu jiva api nijendriya tatrinam ashraya bhavanti tatrahu vidadatiti. But the jivas are also the shelter of the presiding deities of their own senses. This is replied to in the words beginning Vidadati. Vishaya Bhoga Dwareshu Indriyeshu Bhavata Vishwapatina Tatarikaranam Devanam Ev Adhikariya Katipeya Grama Bhavamika Iva Jiva Natesham Ashrayaha. The jivas, just like the earthly rulers of a few villages, are under the authority of the demigods to whom you, the Lord of the universe, have given authority over the senses, which are the means of sense enjoyment. Okay, so you're proposing the jivas are the shelter of their own senses and the controller and enjoyers of their own senses. Well, okay. that the jivas are totally under the control of the demigods, and the demigods are totally under your control. So what kind of lords are they? And certainly the jivas can't even use their own senses without the sanction of the demigods. How can you say the jivas are the shelter of the demigods who control their senses? Okay, the demigods, to control the sense, they need someone there to have the senses. It's like if there's no citizens, then a king can't be the ruler because there's nobody to rule. But it doesn't make him subordinate to the citizens. Okay, he needs citizens to be a king. But it doesn't mean that that they're controlling him. He's controlling them. So the jivas are not the shelter, really, of the demigods. Thus the jivas are not the shelter of these demigods. Kintu bhavaneva tesham adhikara kartva ashraya iti bhavava. Rather you, Narayan, alone, are the shelter of the demigods because they are appointed authorities. They're not independent authorities. Appointed authority means you only became an authority because someone with more of an authority told you to be the authority. Shrutaya Sri Bhagavanta. The verse under discussion was spoken by the Shrutis to the personality of Godhead. And the commentary. Maya cannot be independent as the source of the Creator's sensory capacity because she joins the demigods in offering tribute to the Supreme Lord. Tribute means not just a gift out of love, a voluntary free gift, but a gift that you have to make or else you'll be punished. When a conqueror demands, you must give me tribute or else I'll come and destroy your city. That's called tribute. By force, obligation. So Maya is also offering such tribute to the Supreme Lord. If she didn't remain subordinate to him, she would be in trouble. And she also depends on his grace for empowerment. And certainly there is no independent power to perceive and act in the finite jivas who cannot even perform their basic life functions without the favor of the other jivas appointed as rulers over the senses. These demigods execute their duties out of fear of the Supreme Lord, like local authorities working under the higher authority of the country's government. How then can those who depend upon the demigods for their existence claim independence? Okay, any comments?
Maya, she joins the demigods and offers the tribute to the Supreme Lord.
Then joined just means that she's also doing it. They're doing it, she's also doing it. That means she's serving she's doing her work as a servant of Krishna. She's not independent, she's doing it because she's obliged to Krishna. She must do it, she's a servant.
Does it mean that she somehow conveys that?
No, it just means that we know, first of all, that all the demigods are servants. Now, you may not know it, but Maya is also a servant. That's all it means. She joins them just means that she's also doing it. She's doing what they're doing also. They're serving him, and she's also serving them. That's all it means. That doesn't mean anything more complicated than that. Yes?
The jivas are not the shelter of the demigods. I didn't think of something that this message, the idea that, or I heard that the demigods are depending on the jivas for the performance of sacrifices. And they get strength from their sacrifices. Like, it's a bit like their food. And if the humans don't perform sacrifice, then they become weaker, right? Is that proper, Missouri? Can you explain that? But then it just says that They're not the self of every God.
Well, you can say like that, that the government is dependent on the citizens for its income. The citizens pay the taxes, and if the government didn't get those taxes, it wouldn't be able to operate. So you could say the government is dependent on the citizens, and actually in democracy we do say that. But if it's absolute autocracy, or absolute monarchy, then because those citizens are absolutely under control, there's no question of them refusing to pay taxes. Anybody who refused to pay taxes would be paid taxes would be killed. So I could say that I'm dependent on my arms and legs, but my arms and legs are my instruments. You know, the carpenter is dependent on his hammer. You know, he's dependent on the mercy of his hammer to be able to build something. But the hammer is just a tool in his hands. And the hammer will do what he wants to do. There's no hammer going on strike. No history of it ever such a thing happening. The hammer has no self, no free will. The hammer is absolutely under control. So it doesn't make sense to say that the carpenter is dependent on his hammer. You know, the hammer is the shelter of the carpenter. If something's totally under your control, then you're not dependent on it. Yes, you need to get that service out of your instrument, but the instrument is totally under your control, so it's not your shelter. Because it will do what you want. There's no question about it.
But how Jiva's not performing so sacrifice?
Because the demigods will get their food. If nobody performs any sacrifice, then the whole universe will be shut down. But that never happens. People are hungry, so they work. People will keep on working, no matter what happens. There could be famine, there could be war, natural disasters, and the next day people are out there going to work. Because they have to eat. The whole world, you know, the sky could fall, the next morning people will be out there looking for food. Because people have to eat, no matter what. So, because people have to eat, they have to live, they're going to serve the demigods, no question about it. You know, so we're not really, the demigods aren't dependent on us, because we're going to work, no matter, you know, and therefore they're going to get fed. They don't have to worry about it. You're dependent on someone if he has some free will. You know, I'm living on charity. My friend gives me money every week to live on. So I'm dependent on him. You know, if one week he decides not to give it or he just doesn't have the money, then I'm in trouble, then I go hungry. So I'm dependent on him. But if it's an automatic thing where it's a sure source of money and there's no question of it not coming, then I'm not dependent. I'm dependent when I'm not in control, then I'm dependent. But if I'm in absolute control of a situation, then I'm not dependent on it. So,
we're asking about exactly about the jivas being the shelter of the demigods, or the other way around?
Okay.
Yes. The tribute of being essential, that the demigods, they eat tribute of Kavya, and this competition opens Kavya. No, but what is Kavya?
Kavya is the offering that's made to the Pittas. It's not a vegetarian offering, it's made to the forefathers. It's not in a different category because demigods don't take such non-veg offerings. Okay.
Yeah?
Okay, yes. Kavya, not kavya. Kavya is for vultures. The crows, you know, enjoy the kavya. Yes.
I say the sacrifices, it's like the economics of the universe.
Okay.
Is that
Yeah, but there are there is a free market, and there's also, you know, a monopoly market that's controlled by the government. If it's a free market, then you know, because you're not in control, you're dependent on circumstances. But if you have a monopoly, then because you have a monopoly on food in the whole country, then you don't have to worry about your income, because people are going to have to eat. They're going to have to find some way to buy food, and you're going to get all the profits. Because you have a complete monopoly, then it's all stacked in your favor. It's not an economy that you're dependent on. They have a monopoly. Each of them has a monopoly on his own department. People need, you know, people want to see, they want to eat, they want to hear, and they're going to have to come to them to get the, to get what they need.
Okay, we're doing the sacrifice.
Yes,
that's enough.
That's more than enough.
I mean,
the problem is with the people who aren't doing any sacrifice.
We're doing enough. Okay, we're doing to some extent sacrifice. I mean, the population of the world actually does yoga very little.
Right. So most of the world, of the world is deficient.
So we see it now. It's coming.
Big trouble.
Big trouble is coming.
Like. All the resources are going to run out.
Soon, yeah. Definitely, the jobs are retracted.
Yes, in a big way.
Because some
devotees are performing Samkirtan, it won't be as bad as it could be.
But, okay, for example, those who are performing the idea, they'll somehow still get what they need.
Well, they may not survive. You may get killed. But in this life or the next, you'll get what you need.
Okay.
I'm trying to understand this hierarchy of the universe. They have devas, like administrative devas, and then they have Mahadevi. She's superior.
Yes.
And she herself is a wife of Lord Shiva. So, sometimes she can influence even more Brahma, but what about Shiva?
Sometimes wives influence their husbands, you may have noticed.
So you think that she's superior?
In that way, as a wife, he has a certain power over him. Theoretically, he's in charge.
Like, she's the most like, influential in the seniors.
Well, therefore, she has many worshippers. She demands a lot of respect. Yes. Yes.
It looks like Lord Shiva is not exactly under her control because he has a special method of his own, so it's not exactly Jiva.
He's not Jiva, neither is she. She's also up there in a special category, Shakti Tattva.
Yeah. So, but in a sense, he's Shaktiman because he's a reflection of Adi Sankarshan. So, his body is not material, his senses are not material either. No, she was.
Okay. So, he's independent.
So, he's independent. Even though he plays a role of kind of cousin sometimes.
Okay. Yes.
Who's like, I don't know, is it?
There is not for me to judge.
One example is just the kid who gets church.
Yes.
They were joking and then she got upset.
Yes.
Church was kind of like, you know, it's not so necessary.
Okay, but I don't think he completely disagreed with her either.
Yeah. But he didn't understand that she didn't understand.
Hmm. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Lord Shiva is completely self-controlled. If he fell prey to the allurements of his wife,
just as described in the Kumara Sambhava. That's only his lila, that he agreed to do that by his own free will. Yes, she couldn't act, but then he agreed to be agitated, yeah, but by his own choice. Yes?
Can we say that the homosexual energy is managed by woman?
Is which way?
Managed by woman.
Well, it's managed by Shaktis.
Yeah, so it is.
But a lot of those women are dressed up like men. A lot of the Shaktis think they're males. Well, by definition, Shakti is female. But many of the jivas think they're men, or are taking the role of men. Yeah. Anyway, the husbands think they're in charge. They think they're in charge. Okay. You know, demigods each, you know, got their wives and they think they're in charge. Okay, anything else? It's a little early, but we can stop here at the end of the Anjade. Okay, thank you. Om Narayana Srila Prabhupada. Shri Prabhupada Sandarbha Ki.